Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Good evening, just gone 5:30 here on Manx Radio. Welcome along to the Friday Sport Preview. Simon Quine with you for the next hour through until 6:30. Busy weekend of sport here on the island. We'll look at football fixtures with Tony Meppen very shortly. Action in the ECAP FA Cup first round and across the league divisions as well. After 6 o'clock, Dave Christian joining me to look at rugby, and Ben Cunningham to look at hockey action across the men's and ladies leagues. We will also hear from the Isle of Man netball team, who won all three of their games in the Quad Nations series in London. And the Isle of Man has a new world champion. David Adenall is world champion at the IPA senior title, which he won last weekend. We'll hear from David before 6:30 as well. But we start off this evening with football, and FC Isle of Man are in action again this weekend when they host Northwest County's Premier Division strugglers Abbey Hay at the Bowl. Last week, the Manx side beat table toppers Withenshaw by 2-1, and the club's interim manager Rick Holden says the victory was entirely down to his players.
Well, I don't really know what to say about that because I didn't really have much to do with it. It was the lads. My hand was forced with absentees of injuries, and so we just thought, well, we'll try and make it difficult for them, and sort of instructed the lads to slow it down and play it at their own pace. And we had a slightly different formation, but all credit goes to them. They were superb the way they sorted it out. You know, I mean, it was all credit to them, you know.
Yeah, fantastic result. Next up, Abbey Hay at home on Saturday, their third bottom in the table. And having beaten the runaway league leaders, how do you see that? Is it a massive confidence boost going into this game, or do you have to ensure after what happened that complacency doesn't creep in?
It's a good question, because this league, one thing I've noticed in the 22 games I've been involved with, that they're all very much a muchness. They're very similar, all teams, you know, and sometimes you can't tell the difference between the top of the league and the bottom of the league. Abbey Hay have struggled, we know that, and they're down there, but they might turn up with, again, sort of nothing to lose and really, you know, push us hard, which I'm sure they will, just like we did. To one thing I did say to the lads on Saturday, you've nothing to lose here, just go and play. So very difficult to predict. The lads are never complacent in terms of the thought processes. Sometimes you get a bit lax with odd moments of defending and stuff, but no, I'm just expecting a tough game, that's all.
11 games to go, 21 points clear of relegation. Is that job done? And if so, what's next?
Well, what's next is get these 11 games done. And then the club needs to, we have discussed, need to sort of get a focus really where it's going, because it's a big drain on lots of types of people's resources and resources in general. But I feel like it's job done to get out of the relegation zone. So we've done that. And yes, we've got up to 37 points, which is great. And I'd like to see them, you know, really finish the season well with quite a few victories. And then people will have to sit down pretty quickly and work out it's going to go happen across the summer, you know. Does that?
That's kind of my final question, really, because you are still interim manager, and having guided the team to safety, would you be happy to continue in the role?
I'm happy to do football, but who wants to travel to Lancashire 23 times a year? Ask yourself that question, you know. It's a tough ask, but you know, I've enjoyed it. And the reason I said, you know, I'm 61. I mean, I'm not 41. But I've enjoyed it, yeah. And I went, stepped in to help out. But we'll have to sit down and talk about things, because it's a massive commitment. But, you know, it's... everybody knows about my football past, and they sort of use that angle. You know, Rick Holden, he's a footballer, surely he would love to do it, but you know, it's got to work. So a lot of thought has to go into decisions like that. But I'm not prepared to say yay or nay at the moment to anyone. I'm just going to get through these games. But like I said to you in the previous sort of answer was I'm going to have to sit down people over summer and see where they're going with it.
FC Isle of Man's interim manager Rick Holden there, and that game against Abbey Hay kicks off at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening at the Bowl. Manx Radio's football correspondent Tony Meppen joins me on the line now, primarily to look ahead to this week's fixtures. But first of all, Tony, just some reaction to that game from the Ravens last week. That was a huge win against Withenshaw.
That was massive. I couldn't watch the game myself, but I listened to it on the radio. And it was absolutely brilliant the way it went. And, you know, Dean Pinnington, Steve Whitley with the goals, so, so important. And I did say in the sports programme on Classified Saturday night that I just feared a little bit for them. I saw the squad and I saw the opposition. And I thought, you know, this is going to be a tough gig, but fair play to them. They played some great football. They held it together, defended well, defended from the front, middle, right to the back, and that's where they came out 2-1 winners. So well done to them, and you know, tomorrow's another game, and hopefully it all goes well tomorrow.
I think it's something we've said throughout the season on Full Time, Tony, as well. You know, they can hold themselves against anybody in that league, FC Isle of Man. It's just the consistency that they've really been struggling with, and not just this season, across the last couple of years.
Yeah, you're spot on, Simon. I think the other key point is where the goals were coming from. Steve Whitley had a quiet start to the season in front of the goal, but he's certainly bagging some beauties at the moment, and that's what Steve's all about. Dean Pinnington, he's another player that's been probably a little bit quiet this year, and they've got Dean start to score goals, and more importantly is they're not relying on Charlie Higgins, because you know Charlie's a fantastic player, probably the standout player for FC Isle of Man this season, and when Charlie's not scoring, if someone else can step in, then the results can come. So, yeah, it was absolutely terrific result 6 days ago.
And I'm sure they were glad to see that Withenshaw hadn't brought any of their veterans down with them, with Papi Sissé and Emil Heskey and Jolene Lescott turning out for the Withenshaw veterans teams at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And it just shows you the strength of Withenshaw, because they're a great club, and FC Isle of Man have had some good games with them. And, you know, it's just nice to see. And I think that's what it's all about, is this Northwest Counties Premier League, is to have the top sides coming over and really sort of letting the Isle of Man make a statement and say, we can compete with these. But as you rightly say, consistency is the one. And with a change of manager to Rick, probably didn't help. But Rick's getting a grip of it now and it's going well.
All right, Tony, thank you very much. That game, as I mentioned, against Abbey Hay, kicking off at the Bowl, 6 o'clock tomorrow evening. Let's move on to our domestic fixtures then for this weekend, Tony. And we'll start off with the ECAP FA Cup. It's the first round. Both these games getting underway at 1.45. And we'll start in the west of the island as Peel take on Pull Rose.
Yeah, and I think we've been blessed with some good weather the last couple of days. So I don't really see a situation where we're going to have problems with these two, but certainly Peel against Pull Rose. When the draw was made, Pull Rose were buzzing, because when you look at the league table in the Ardnor Drugan Division 2, they're fourth, as were with Peel, the second. And if they played their two games in hand and won, they would be top. So they're a division apart, but Pull Rose have certainly got talented players in there. Peel have got you know, a real array of youth and experience. And you know, hopefully Thomas Brown's hamstring problem has tidied itself up, because they need him certainly in front of goal. But Pull Rose, they know it's going to be tough for them, but they'll enjoy the afternoon. And what a stadium to play at. Stand, they've got the bar there for a beer afterwards. And a lot of comments will be coming from the shed end as well. But I've got to go for Peel to go through.
OK, and the second game in the ECAP FA Cup sees Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys taking on St John's.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit tougher to predict, because Ramsey Youth Centre, third in Division 2, as well as St John's, what, about eighth in the Premier League.
Yeah,
I know Rhys Oates, seventh, yeah. I know Rhys Oates isn't playing tomorrow, which is a big minus for them. But the responsibility is going to be with Dean Leeson and also Callum Taggart up front. And when you've got Joey Savage in there working in midfield, Andrew Chadwick as well, closing things down, you know, it's up to the rest of them to just try and create the chances for the boys up front, because they'll score. And I just think they'll prove too strong, St John's, against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
And is it one of those games you're going to be at for us tomorrow afternoon, Tony?
Yeah, Peel and Pull Rose. I picked that one when the draw was made, actually. And just to clarify, Simon, that we will be making the draw tomorrow night. There is still one game outstanding, which is Onken against Old Boys. It's at Old Boys. That'll be played next week. But these two games here, that'll near enough complete the eight that we need. We'll have nine in the hat, and we'll make the draw, and the either-or game will not go ahead next week, but the rest of the games will take place next Saturday.
OK, moving on to Canada Life Premier League. All these games getting underway at the usual time of 2:30. And the first game on the fixture list sees bottom of the table Foxdale. Welcome, Oncombe.
Yeah, and I think, Foxdale, if you look at recent results and even games where they haven't quite finished due to postponement, they've put a good show on for themselves, which means that Anthony Corkle's getting things right there. You wouldn't recognise the team sheet compared to last year, so it just shows you Foxdale have had to bring in new players, and the new players are coming up with the goods. But Onken, definitely the team of the year so far. They've had a tremendous season. A lot of good players in there, and we've always talked about the forward line, but you've also got to look defensively as well. And I think Patrick Riley's read it really well. And when you look at Ethan Leavers and also Andy Asbridge, Tom Creer coming at you, then you're going to have a big problem on that one and go for Onken for the result.
Six games in hand over Braddon, though, Foxdale. If that starts to turn that ship around and can pick up a first couple of wins of the season, that's some ground they could make up with those games.
They could, but I think it's a big ask because it's always been Foxdale's way. Not last year, but certainly a couple of years before that. They have such a lot of games to play at the end of the season that it takes its tolls because the injury to players, they don't have the energy to, get past them and get going. But no, I think the two sides that are in the bottom two places at the moment, which is Old Boys and Foxdale, will be the two teams that get relegated.
OK, move on to Union Mills against St Mary's. St Mary's sitting third in the table at the moment, Union Mills in eighth.
Yeah, I think with Union Mills, they had a good cup result last week against Colby. I think Ryan Kelly's team are looking pretty good. Everyone's fit and back in there. You've got Nathan Yates, you've got Owen Quayle at the back. Forward line, as we've already seen, Jordan Crawley last week with a couple of goals. You've got Tyler Hughes as well, who'll come in with goals. And, they work hard, but St Mary's, I keep saying it, I'm going to say it again, Simon. I think St Mary's are going to have the say of where the league title is going to go, because if my memory serves me right, St Mary's have got Corinthians and Peel to play. And on paper, St Mary's have got a really good side if they're all available. Tomorrow afternoon, I think it's going to be St Mary's that will take the points.
OK, and speaking at the top of the table, Corinthians welcome Ramsey. Important game for Corinthians this, because it's that psychological thing of putting 3 points on the board when your main challengers aren't playing, isn't it? And just stretching that gap out a little bit more.
Well, it is, and I think, to be fair, Corinthians have just got to keep winning the games that come up for them, because I looked at the outstanding games Corinthians have got and Peel, and they near enough mirror each other. Even though Peel have played two less, they've got some tough teams to play, like your Russians, you've got St Mary's to play. So they've just got to keep picking up the 3 points. Against Ramsey, you look at the table there in front of you, Simon, and how many games Ramsey have played. That's the Achilles heel for them this season. They just haven't had a consistent amount of games to play. They've got good players in there, but again, it's whether they're there, they're not injured or whatever. I've got no form because they've hardly played any football. As well with Corinthians, when you look at Dan Simpson, play the month again and playing really well. You've got Sean Dawes scoring goals. And then just all around, Josh Riding's fit back in defensively. Bevan Colley's got himself fit again, and Matthew Quirk in goal. I just think Corinthians will be too strong.
Yeah, you mentioned that game. Ramsey currently sat in 10th in the league with 12 games played, same as Foxdale. They've 5 games in hand against Ayr, who are above them, and 6 games in hand against Braddon, who are just below them. So like you say, that consistency of playing week in, week out is something they'll be suffering from.
Yeah, a lot of players I've spoken to, managers, they're just heads done in, with the weather. Mm-hmm. They just, because you don't get the players together. When you listen to the training numbers, they're way down to where they should be for the final run-in at the season. And it's just so frustrating for everybody. But let's just hope the weather's going to start to change for us. We've had a good Thursday. Today's good. And then hopefully tomorrow the weather forecast is not too bad, because we've got an awful lot of football to get played over the next 2-3 months, because, we're going to be making the Hospital Cup draw in a couple of weeks. And when you start that sort of competition, the season should be coming to an end. But when you look at the league tables, you're looking at clubs playing 24 games in the Premier League. They're nowhere near some of it. So there's an awful lot of football to organise.
And looking to keep the pressure on the couple of teams above them to try and maybe sneak into the top three is a Russian, who welcome Air this weekend, and Air currently sat down in ninth in the table.
Yeah, I think, you know, David Ward, since he's took over, done a really good job at Russian Air United. It depends what players are available. I'm looking at Leo Tregurtha, Harry Best, Sean Kelly, who could be playing for FC Le Mans, because I haven't seen the squad yet. But, you know, Air, you look at the league table, it just tells you where they are at the moment, player-wise. You know, they're struggling to get their best 11 out. And I just think Russian, the form that they've been in, with sort of scoring plenty of goals as well, I just think Russian will come out winners.
OK, and the final game in Canada Life Premier League is at Braddon against Laxey.
Yeah, and the interesting one about this one, Simon, is they only played each other a couple of weeks ago, and it was Braddon that won. Now, Laxey, George Burrows has moved to Braddon, so that will make them stronger, because George is a really good player. But I think Johnny Palmer will be looking at it and thinking, we've got to get ourselves back on track here, because they always do well in the Hospital Cup. They had a great start to the season. It seems to have sort of petered out a little bit towards the end, and he'll be looking to correct that. And against Braddon, they've got the chance to sort of pay them back, if you like, when they beat them 2-1. And I think it'll be a tough battle for them, but I just think Laxey might just get it right tomorrow, and they'll take the victory.
OK, moving on to Arden and Drogheda Limited, Division 2. Governors Athletic taking on Moran as the first game, and Moran looking to keep pace with the teams above them.
Yeah, they've got to. They've just got to keep winning. They had a slip-up recently against Colby where they lost out. But, you know, Moran on paper have got a strong team there. David Brew knows that. And against Governors, you know, the pitch at Colby should be fine. You know, it's struggled over the last couple of weeks. But Moran, no, it's in their own hands. If they're going to get promoted, or, you know, as champions or second in the league, they've got to keep winning. And hopefully somewhere along the line, clubs like sort of Pulrose, Ramsey Centre and Old Boys, you know, Castletown and also Colby, if they can drop points, then it lets Moran back in. So I'm going to go for Moran to win.
OK, Malou against St George's. The two teams with some daylight away from the bottom two at the end of Division 2. But again, Malou with a handful of games in hand here. You know, there's some ground they could make up into the top half of the table.
Yeah, they can. And you could see last week against D&D, OK, the game was abandoned at half-time. But they were 4-0 up and playing well. Paddy Cooper's been in good form. So, you know, Malou know the challenge is there for them to climb up the table. Now, when you look at St George's, the improvement of late in their results has been absolutely magnificent. And, OK, they lost out to Moran in the Cup, but that win against Castletown, you know, pointed to me that they're going in the right direction. But I just think maybe Malou, if they've got their full team out, can take the victory here and keeps the pressure on the teams around them to stop Malou climbing up that table.
And it's the Southern Derby that could potentially decide which way Division 2 goes this season. Colby against Castletown.
Yeah, and it's at sort of Colby, so home advantage. I think Josh McPhee will be hoping that they can sort of get a good result in that. I think Castletown, I've corrected sort of a couple of indifferent performances. But Gary Sansbury has got to just try and, you know, push them on. And, you know, last week they came across Corinthians in the Cup and got beat, 4-1 it was. The game was abandoned after 75 minutes. But it just shows that if they do get promoted, that it's going to be tough in that Premier League, you know, playing against the league leaders. But, you know, Castan against Colby, it's always a close game. But I just think at the moment, Gary Sansby's team will just pip it. They'll just take it narrowly, and that's a victory for Castletown.
So that's the thing with this, looking at this table in front of me here, Tony, that there's one point in this, Colby on 38, Castletown on 37. They've got more or less identical records throughout the season. The big difference that stands out to me is Castletown, they've got a far superior goal difference there, 29 goals ahead of Colby. And, you know, that could come into play at the end of the season when it's this close.
Absolutely. And the main reason for that is they've probably got the two best scorers in the division. Alex Crawley scores for fun. And Ross Crawford, what a signing that was to get him from Ramsey Youth Centre. So those two guys together, you know, they're sort of full of it. But as I say, when I watched the game against the Georges, I don't know what happened. It just didn't click together for them. But when you've got those two boys, and if they're on fire in front of goal, then they can make a huge difference. And that's why, if it does come down to goal difference, it could prove so, so valuable, the performances by these two throughout the season.
OK, final game in Arden and Drugan Limited Division 2 sees Douglas Royal entertain Douglas and District.
Yeah, Douglas Royal, another team, and D&D, bit of lack of football because of the weather. Their game against Paul Rose last week, Douglas Royal was abandoned, so it's start again. But I watched them recently down at the bowl where they played Douglas Royal, and they did really well. And they're starting to, you know, capitalise now on some really good players coming through their under 16s team, they're turning 16 and coming into senior football and just, you know, gelling straight away, which is great to see. Douglas and District have had a tough old season. They've conceded quite a lot of goals, but they still get a team out every single week, and they'll be looking to rebuild next season. So it's just a question of, you know, get the games done, because they played a lot of games in Division 2. So their season's league season starting to close in. But I think against Douglas Royal, they'll find it tough. So it's Douglas Royal take victory.
OK, Tony, we'll move on to the two combination leagues, and we'll just do results on these, because we're looking a bit tight on time now. So Canada Life, Combi 1, Lax against Peel.
I've got to go for Peel to win that one. I think they're the team that are looking to win this league.
Onken against Foxdale.
I'll go for Onken to win.
And St John's against Braddon.
I think St John's might just sneak it, but Braddon have got some reasonable young players in there.
OK, early game between St Mary's and Union Mills, which kicks off at 1:45.
Yeah, St Mary's are really strong, and as you say, 1:45 kick-off at the bowl. I'm going to go for St Mary's to beat Union Mills.
Ramsey against Corinthians.
This is a real humdinger, this one, because, you know, you've got Ramsey, Corinthians, Rushen, Highfield and Peel are the four top sides. I think Peel at the moment have got massive momentum going, but Corinthians and Ramsey, it was a draw last time, I think it was, up at Ballar Fletcher. I just wonder if Corinthians can go a step further. I'm going to go for Corinthians to beat Ramsey.
And finally, Ayr against Rushen.
I have to go with Rushen. They've got it better together now. They had a couple of struggle results, but now they've sorted themselves out and trying to see if they can close that gap towards the top of the table.
And move on to Arden and Drugan Limited Combination 2, Michael against Douglas and District.
I'm going to go for Michael to win.
Moran against Governors Athletic.
I'll go with Moran.
Douglas Athletic against Ramsey Youth Centre and Old Boys.
This is a close game. I'm going to go for Athletic just to sneak it.
And St George's against Maloo.
I'll go for St George's to win.
Paul Rose against Jim's.
Paul Rose to win.
And it's that Southern Derby again, Castletown against Colby.
Yeah, tight game, but I'll go for Castletown just to sneak it.
OK, Tony, thank you very much. You will be back with me tomorrow evening between 4 and 6 on full-time and classifieds, and with Paul Moran throughout the afternoon. It's the ECAP FA Cup first round. Peel against Paul Rose will be your game tomorrow, is that right?
Absolutely, spot on.
All right, fantastic. Thanks very much, Tony.
Cheers, Simon.
On to netball now, and last weekend the Isle of Man won all three games in the Quad Nations series in London. They defeated France, Malta and Switzerland, and the occasion was marked by two of the island's most experienced players winning their 50th caps, Rachel Johnston and Ashley Hall, whose sister Jade Clark is the most capped player for the England, were the pair who reached this milestone, something they're both very proud of.
I had no idea when we were at the tournament, actually. It was just a surprise.
I knew once Ash got hers. I was like, I must be soon. Yeah, I was really proud of it. I can't believe how many games we've played.
Yeah.
2018 to now. It's, really, really great.
I think, Ashley, you and your sister are probably the most capped players for your countries.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
That's
amazing.
So your sister is...
I'm catching her up. She's got over 200 caps. I don't think I've got that much time left.
I don't know, Ash. I think you might.
But that's for England. Yes. And you're obviously for the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Am I right in thinking that you've played for England at some level?
Under-16s. I was in the under-16s England squad.
You're both the most capped players for the Isle of Man. Now, the Isle of Man netball has gone from county to country.
Yeah.
And that's how this has come about. Have you seen in that time the benefit of moving away from the county system in terms of the quality of players that the Isle of Man's now producing?
Absolutely. I think we're experiencing different netball, bringing what we're learning back to the local leagues everything's improving. We're getting so much better competition and it's just raising all the standards, I think. Yeah,
I think our league over here is amazing, but you do tend to play the same teams every year in, year out. And going away and playing different styles, like each country has a different style and you're having to work that out on court. And then the physicality is a lot more when you play these games and it's coming back to the island, and the players who maybe aren't in the programme or are coming into the programme and then benefiting from us going out and experiencing that, and I guess the pathways as well. So yeah, definitely I think playing for the Isle of Man and playing these international competitions is just...
I think it gives the youngsters something to aim for as well, and they see everything we're doing and want to be part of it, and they work harder for it as well.
50 caps each. Favourite memories, favourite games, which ones stand out?
Oh, that, you know, I was thinking about that before. I think when you're playing, you don't like the close ones, but actually when you've won by one, I remember the World Cup qualifiers, we beat Republic of Ireland by one.
Yeah.
And that was really special. We've lost a few by one, that's a bit harder. But I think in terms of the tournament, I thought Singapore was just such a cool experience. That was... although we didn't get a win for that, I think that really just showed how far we've come. And we played, obviously, Asian nations and an African nation. And I just thought that was really special to be a part of for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, to compete at that level. Yeah, it was really something. So we lost, but we actually learned a lot and played quite well.
Ashley, for you, though, personally, of those 50 caps, any games that stand out?
I think when we won Europe netball
at
home.
I forgot about that. I take mine back. It's, it's that one. That was that was amazing.
Yeah, it was just being at home and being on home turf and having everyone enjoy that with us. And yeah, I think that really did a lot for netball. I think we got Team of the Year at the Sports Awards that year as well.
I think as well, was that the second year we were... I think the first year we went to netball Europe, we came second, we got silver, and we were so buzzing with that. We couldn't believe it. You know, we'd never played internationally before, and then to get silver, we're like, wow, against some really, like, UAE, Gibraltar, they'd had programs for quite a while or were bigger countries. And then the following year, to then take it against Republic of Ireland, who at the time when we, the first year, we were like, wow, they're such a good team. That was was amazing, wasn't it?
I think the first time we played Northern Ireland as well.
Oh, yeah.
Oh no, it wasn't when we played them in Gibraltar. And we were with them up until half time. And I remember our coaches were like, oh, we're going to the World Cup.
Yeah, we're going to take their world ranking. Yeah. You know, when you talk about it, there's so many games that we've played and all have just been...
Yeah, it's hard choosing. Yeah.
You take something from each game and each tournament, don't you? Yeah. So,
is the Commonwealth Games, is that too high a standard for the Isle of Man? Or do you think that's something that could be achievable? Or are we just too small?
I think that's our aim for the future. It might be
a few years. maybe not in our years.
But that is the ultimate aim, isn't it?
I think, again, because like Northern Ireland, who's gone to the Commonwealth Games for... you have to be in the top 14, I think, don't you? That's it. I think the World Cup, we could get to Northern Ireland. That could happen a bit sooner than the Commonwealth Games. But we've got to have something to aim for, don't you?
Yeah.
Another 50 caps each, or is that...
No, I don't know about that. Rachel could.
I don't know. You know, it's a good few years you've got to put in. You know, 2018 we first started, and now we're 2026. So it's nearly a decade of playing. But we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll just take each year by year, and obviously put the work... you got to put the work in to be at that level. So it's not a given.
Those youngsters are coming for us now.
Yeah, they are indeed.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Just about 4 minutes after 6 o'clock, Friday Sport Preview here on Manx Radio. Simon Quine with you through until 6:30 this evening. In the first half of the programme, we looked ahead to football with FC Isle of Man in action at the Bowl tomorrow evening against Abbey Hay, and Tony Meppham looking ahead to the ECAP FA Cup first round and also league action. Coming up before 6:30, Ben Cunningham joins me to look at rugby, and we'll hear from David Adnall, the Isle of Man's latest world champion. But before that, Dave Christian joins me to look at rugby.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
Friday Sport Preview for Friday, the 27th of February. Simon Quine with you here on Manx Radio. Just gone 4.5 minutes after 6 o'clock, and we will move on to rugby. Three fixtures on the list for this weekend, including an away trip in Regional 2 Northwest for Douglas, with a look ahead to that game and the two others affecting local teams this weekend. It's Dave Christian. Good evening, Dave.
Yeah, good evening, Simon. We've got a couple of belters in this programme. It really is. We start with Douglas. They're away at Vale of Lune. Now, Douglas are rapidly approaching the pointy end of the season. Recent results have been, I'm going to call them indifferent, and that's maybe a little bit too flattering. They've not quite been disastrous either, so kind of somewhere in between. They were going great guns at the end of November, top of the league, and then they've had a massive slump since, just won two since Christmas. But, and there's a big but, they are still in the mix for a promotion playoff spot. They need to finish in the top four. They're currently fourth. However, this weekend sees them travel to Vale of Lune, who are third. They desperately need to pick up some points here. They've only got 5 games left of the regular season, and 2 of those are away against teams above them. I think the last game's away at second place, North Ribblesdale. So it's important for them to pick up points. They beat Vale of Lune 30 points to 12 at Portishead back in November when they were in the middle of their purple patch. And you've got to fancy their chances away from home. Difficulty is Vale have been very strong in Lancaster. That's where they're based. And they've picked off a win against North Ribblesdale at home this season as well. So difficult to say how it's going to go. Douglas is going to want some points. They're definitely capable of it. They've had to make a number of forced changes to the squad, and this is where I think that the problem has occurred. No disrespect for the players coming in, but for that period up to the end of November, they had a very settled team. There weren't that many changes from one week to the next. We had Matty Wood going great guns at 10 since his arrival. He's been switched to centre since Christmas. And I think that's a personnel issue rather than a tactical move. I think that's because they needed somebody who was capable of playing in the centre, and Matty Wood is excellent in 10. He's just as good at 12. Another player missing is Nathan Robson, the scrum half. He played pretty much consistently all the way up to Christmas, picked up a couple of knocks since then, and I think he's only played 2 or 3 times since Christmas. And, of course, the captain, Blake Snell, the engine room, the second row, the powerhouse of the front row, powerhouse of the front five, sorry. And Blake's been out injured. He hasn't played for over a month now. So if they can get those guys back into the team and see if they can pick up where they were running at the end of November, they've got an excellent chance, but there's not much time left to do it. Just 5 left, 2 of those away from home against opposition above them. So they're going to have to make the most of it while the sun shines, if it ever does. Domestically, there's another cracker in Counties 3, ADM, Lancashire and Cheshire, and it is the Counties 3 Minor Conference. Remember, the league was 14 teams. Everybody plays each other once, and then it splits into Division 1, Division 2. This is Division 2. We're going to call it the Minor Conference. That's what the RFU have called it. But it is Ramsey against Vagabonds. It's a local derby. Not only is it important for the Counties 3 ADM, but it's also going to be doubled up. It's going to count for the Manx Cup as well. So it's a huge doubleheader for both sides. Now, neither side went particularly well in phase one of Counties 3. Ramsey finished next to bottom, Vagabonds just above them. Points are going to be carried forward from phase one to phase two, so it's unlikely to see either Ramsey or Vagabonds challenging at the top end. However, the Manx Cup is a slightly different affair. Vagabonds have played 2, lost 2. They need a win to be able to have any sort of chance of qualifying. Ramsey had their first outing last week and were bested by Douglas Celts up at the Murrick Park in a very wet game. Difficult to say how this one will go. Ramsey need a win. Douglas need a win for Manx Cup purposes. Counties 3, neither side, I don't think, will be overly bothered by it because of that discrepancy from the start of the season. Vagabonds have been missing captain Dan Bomwick. I reckon he's worth 10 points a game. They need him back as quickly as possible. He's been out for about a month now with a groin niggle. And Ramsey had a barnstorming game against Douglas last week. They lost, but there were a number of players went off before the full 80 minutes with potential injuries. Jake Richmond from the back line, Brandon Atchison from the back line, and the captain Josh Kateen from the forwards all went off before full time. And how those guys recover will be vital for Ramsey's chances. Vagan's got a good replacement for Bonwick. Cam Finley kicked and scored all their points in their last Manx Cup outing, which was a defeat at Douglas Celts. And Finley will definitely be there to pull the strings in the absence of Bonwick, but Dan Bonwick's a man you want in your team. And finally, we have the Hartford Homes Manx Shield Douglas Celts runaway winners with this. Don't think they can be caught. I haven't quite checked the permutations out on that one, but they raced off to an early lead. Nobody's been able to touch them. This is a chance for Southern Nomads maybe to get the measure of them for the Manx Cup and also pick up some points in the Manx Shield and maybe just close that gap and might just sneak up on the rails behind them. Douglas have an excellent front row last week with Rich Bell, Aaron Mason and Ralph Clark. They did a great job in the set piece and round the park. I'm just wondering if those guys maybe might have busted too much last week and may not have enough in the tank to do it again. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just a feeling I have. Outside of that, Douglas has got a great squad full of youth and experience. Southern Nomads, though, are no mugs. They've got a nice forward unit there, but a back line that makes the mouth water. Mark Young's in there, Finn McGregor, the Crane brothers, Rob and Mike. Those guys, anybody would want them in their back line, and I think Douglas will struggle down there at Ballachilia Park. Those two games, the game at Bella Fletcher and the Ballachilia Park, are both 2:15 kickoffs. And if you are in the UK and you're planning on going to Lancaster for Douglas versus Vale of Lune, that game kicks off at a slightly earlier 1:45 p.m.
Dave, thank you very much. And I assume you'll be at Bella Fletcher tomorrow afternoon. We'll get updates
certainly
for
will
Paul.
Be.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. Looking ahead to those three games in local rugby this weekend and updates throughout that game at Bella Fletcher and the other scores as well from Dave Christian with Paul Moran on Saturday Live tomorrow afternoon, and then joining me after 5 o'clock tomorrow evening in the Saturday Sport Classified between 5 and 6 on Manx Radio AM 1368 and Manx Radio DAB.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate. View filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
Let's get some boots on the ground for this year's most memorable charity challenge. The 50K Challenge Walk on Sunday the 19th of April in support of Hospice Isle of Man and the island's firefighters. This special non-competitive event brings together community, endurance and breathtaking scenery from Peel to Ramsey for two really great causes. To find out more and to enter, visit hospice.org.im/charitywalk. Kindly supported by Canaccord Wealth.
Carpetland, the carpet specialist with the island's best value carpets in stock, often fitted within a week. Furnitureland, for three-piece suites, dining and living room furniture, and a selection of amazing beds. Carpetland and Furnitureland, West Street, Ramsey.
Herschel.co.im. The exclusive Karcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Karcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
Dig it, lift it, dump it, load it. When you need to just get on and do it, Gunn JCB it.
Based in Spring Valley Trading Estate, they're the experts in JCB machinery, sales, parts and servicing.
JCB have been on the island since 1960, so their local experience and knowledge will help find the ideal equipment for your project.
Just call 664-866 and ask for Matt for machine sales
and Dave for parts and servicing.
Gunn JCB. Just do it.
Stock arriving weekly at Ramsey Garden Centre. Discover potted spring bulbs, summer bulbs, seed potatoes, onion and garlic sets, wildflower seeds, sweet pea, microgreens, plantable biodegradable pots and propagation essentials. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed. Visit theprintshedIOM.com today to set up your personalised web shop for your sports club or business.
So finally on Friday Sport Preview, looking ahead to the hockey fixtures for this weekend, and Ben Cunningham joins me in the studio. And good evening, Ben. We will start, in fact, with Men's Premier League, and it's a top-of-the-table clash, first of all. Backers Men's A taking on Vikings Men's A.
Yeah, this will be a really big clash in the title race here. A big, crucial game for both sides, of course. They've already played each other before. Backers A coming away with the win over Vikings A, so Vikings A will definitely want to get the win today. But as you say, though, big top of the table clash, and Backers A at the moment, you look at the league standings, they're looking unstoppable at the moment.
Just 3 points behind the Vikings Men's A. This could change the direction of things, couldn't it, if they win this?
It could indeed, but of course Vikings A have dropped points, whereas Backers A haven't dropped a single point yet, so let's see what happens.
Okay, just below them in the table, Harlequins Men's A and Castletown Men's A, they take each other on tomorrow. That's a 25-1 at Castle Rusham.
Yeah, that's going to be another big game as well for Harlequins, keeping their position in the league. They're doing really well so far, really showing some of the bigger teams that they're really up for this Premier League challenge. Castletown A, though, they're coming into this game on the back of a very big defeat last weekend to Backers A. I think it was 15-0, if I remember rightly off the top of my head. So they'll be licking their wounds this weekend, but hopefully they'll be getting back to winning ways. But who knows, maybe Castletown could cause a shock here, but Harlequins, looking at the league table, look favourites for it.
OK, and the final game in the Men's Premier is Vikings Men's B taking on Valkyries Men's A, and Vikings Men's B still without any points this season.
Yeah, and they really do need to get some points on the board this weekend for sure, otherwise relegation is looking very much likely for them. Valkyries A, though, it'll be a tough ask for Vikings B to overcome them, but could Vikings B maybe get their first points of the season on the table? I don't know, really, because Valkyries A are looking the stronger of the two sides going into this one.
I move on to Ladies Premier, and very much like the men's, it's the top of the table clash. First of all, at the where is this one taking place? It is at the QE2. It's Castletown Ladies A against Valkyries Ladies A.
This is a huge game, and definitely game of the day for me this weekend in Ladies Premier. Of course, the top two sides, the current champions, Castletown A, still looking to defend their league title, but Valkyries A are definitely giving them a good run for their money this season. Last time these two met earlier in the league, Valkyries A came away with a win, but only just. So it's going to be a very close one. I'm going to sit on the fence on this one, Simon.
I'm just looking at the table in front of you, Ben. I mean, they've got an identical record. It's played 5, won 4, lost 1, 8 points. Castletown with a goal difference of 15, Valkyries with a goal difference of 14. You're pretty much inseparable.
Yeah, that's why I'm sitting on the fence on this one. I don't really fancy putting a prediction on this one.
Can't tempt you at all, either way.
Castletown, maybe.
We won't hold you to that one. Right, second game in Ladies Premier, the NSC at 2:05 is Vikings Ladies A against Backers Ladies A.
Yeah, this one will be a close game between two very evenly matched sides. Again, another one I'm going to sit on the fence here. And I mean, you look at the league tables, they don't lie. This Ladies Premier League, it's looking very close so far.
It is, yeah. I mean, I was just looking further down. You've got Vikings on 5 points, Backers A on 4 points, and Harlequins A on 4 points. And that takes us on to the final fixture of the day, with Harlequins Ladies A taking on Castletown Ladies B.
Yeah, and Castletown Ladies B, like Vikings Men's B, as we were talking about previously, they do need to get some points on the board. Otherwise, relegation is looking very, very likely again for Castletown B. But Castletown B have been doing their absolute best to try and get some points here, and this could be a chance for them to get some points today, this Saturday, over Harlequins A. But Harlequins A are looking really good this season. I think it'll be a tough ask for Castletown to overcome them. So Harlequins A win there.
OK, we move on to Men's Division 1. And the first game of the day is at the NSC at 11:05. It's Backers Men's B taking on Castletown Men's B.
Yeah, Backers Men's B flying at the top of this league. And I think it's going to be a tough ask for Castletown B to overcome Backers B at the moment.
100% record for Backers B, and Castletown Men's B yet to get any points on the board in this league.
Yeah, so again, another team that needs to get points on the board very soon, otherwise it could be relegation.
OK, QE2 at 25-1, it's Harlequins Men's B against Valkyries Men's B.
tough ask for Harlequins men's B. OK, they've got points on the board, but against a very tough Valkyries men's B side who are in the running at the top there, I'm going to go for a Valkyries B win that one.
OK, and the final game in men's Division 1 is up in the north down at Ramsey, 25-1, Valkyries men's C against Ramsey men's A.
Yeah, and again, it's a very close game, this one, for Valkyries men's C against Ramsey. But Ramsey A, going into this one, really are looking the favourite on this, so I'm going to go for a Ramsey A win on that one.
OK, that takes us on to Ladies Division 1 and the first game of the day, 11:05. Up at Ramsey, it's Ramsey Ladies A against Valkyries Ladies B.
That one really will be close because Valkyries Ladies B currently top, and of course Ramsey A are chasing after Valkyries B. I mean, like you say, you look at the league table, it's very close at the top of this division. Valkyries B though have been looking really strong, scoring plenty of goals going forward. Ramsey B, they've been scoring plenty as well, but they have been slipping up occasionally a bit too easily where they should be winning. So if I had to pick a winner, maybe go for the Westerners, Valkyries B.
OK, and it's the late game in that division at 5:05. Backers Ladies B against Castletown Ladies C. Now, Backers B will be buoyed by the fact that one of the teams above them is going to drop some points this weekend.
Yeah, so Backers B will be wanting to make sure that they get the win against Castletown C, but Castletown C could prove a shock here, and I know I say it week in, week out with Rob when he's when we're talking about the Castletown teams, but Castletown teams do cause a shock and cause an upset, and this could be a fixture where Castletown C could potentially cause an upset here.
OK, and the final game in Ladies Division 1, Vikings Ladies B against Backers Ladies C.
And again, that's going to be a very close game as well. Of course, Vikings B just getting back to better form, of course, after a couple of losses. But yeah, it's going to be a tough ask against a very strong Vikings B side.
OK, we move on to Men's Division C. And no, we don't. We start off with Men's Division 2, in fact. And we start off with the first game in that division at 11:05 out in the West End at QE2. It's Vikings Men's C against Castletown Men's C.
Yeah, this will be a good game. Of course, Vikings Men's C are pushing to get the promotion in this league. And Castletown Men's C had a mixed bag of a season so far. They'd love to maybe get one over Vikings Men's C, but Vikings Men's C look really strong. And I did see Vikings Men's C last week play against Harlequins Men's C, and they looked really strong going forward. So Vikings Men's C win on that one.
It's top against bottom at the NSC as Ramsey Men's B take on Backers Men's C.
Yeah, Backers Men's C, another team in the battle for this promotion. Ramsey Men's B, though, credit to them, of course, they've put a second team in, and some weeks they've been struggling to get a full team out, but they've not conceded the games. They've played the games some weeks with 10, some weeks with 9 players, but they've gone out there and played the games. It's going to be a tough ask, though, against a very strong Backers C side, so a Backers C win on that one.
OK, and the final game is, again, at QE2, and that is, no, it's not, it's King William's College, Harlequins Men's C against Backers Men's Colts.
Yeah, Backers Men's Colts are proven a very strong side. They beat Vikings Men's C 2 weeks ago. Last week, they beat their Men's C, who are top of the league. So, yeah, could Backers Men's Colts be a surprise package in this league? I do think so as well. Against Harlequins C, though, it'll be a close game, but the run of form that Backers Men's Colts are on, I'm sure that they're going to go on and get the victory.
Finally, moving on to Ladies Division 2, and the first game of the day is at 11:05 at Castle Rush, and it's Harlequins Ladies B against Castletown Ladies D.
Yeah, and this will be a close game between two very evenly matched sides. Again, one that potentially you could sit on the fence on, but Harlequins Ladies B are coming into this on the back of a good win. So I'm going to go for Harlequins Ladies B win here. I think they might just get it over Castletown.
And the final game then, 25-4 at QE2, Vikings Ladies C against Valkyries Ladies C. And Valkyries already with a game in hand in this division and looking to make up some ground on the two teams above them.
Yeah, of course, Valkyries, their last game, they lost to Ramsey Ladies B, who have got a rest week this week. So, yeah, it's definitely time for Valkyries Ladies C to get that comeback on the go. And Vikings Ladies C, mixed bag of results for them this season. I'm sure they would like to be in a bit of a better position than they are, but they're going out there, giving it a good go. But I think Valkyries Ladies C will be just too strong on the day, so Valkyries Ladies C win there.
All right, Ben Cunningham, thank you very much. Looking ahead to the men's and ladies hockey fixtures across the island this weekend.
Manx Radio Sports, brought to you by The Print Shed.
Just a few minutes left of Friday's Sport Preview before Chris Kinley's here with Greatest Hits through until 9 o'clock this evening. And to finish things off, pool player David Adenall is the Isle of Man's latest world champion. Last weekend, he won the IPA senior title in Bradford.
Came as a bit of a shock, but the IPA world seniors champion 2026 this year, just only last weekend, and never expected it. Been trying for a long time to, like, you know, do well in the game, but I never imagined I would achieve this.
What are we talking here? Like, is this a world championship, is it? Or
yeah, it's the over 40s, so it's not the main event, but the over 40s, it's still got a lot of the top 16 professionals in the event, and I had to play, like, you know, four of them. On the way, I won six matches and won four matches against, like, a former world champions, former world number ones, and trophy winners, and so it was nice to beat them all in, like, you know, one tournament.
I believe the final was a bit of one-sided.
You know, my opponent, you know, has made a couple of mistakes early on, and it's the first time he's been in that kind of environment, and we've all been there, so I can relate to it. And I was there myself one day, mm-hmm. and you know, I've been there a few more times, so it did help a little, but yeah, he didn't do too much wrong, just a couple of early mistakes, and I only made a couple of mistakes through the whole match, so obviously I was really pleased with that.
So tell me, just with the competition, is it a little bit like boxing, that there are different organisations, or is this like the one world championship?
There is a lot of organisations, just sometimes what happens in sports, as we know, but yeah, this is like, you know, the World Championships and you know, the IPA World Championships, and they have different categories at this event, you know, like the main event, the seniors over 40s, over 50s, masters, mixed, doubles. So whereas the normal tour events, you just have two events for each player for the weekend.
Are you talking about kind of a big audience here watching you?
No, it's a big audience. Obviously, the IPA will be looking at expanding. But they have YouTube at the moment, so usually probably get, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 watching. So it was really good, and then getting a lot of support from the Isle of Man as well. Everyone watching and sending messages and sharing the stream and all that. So it was really good, and I believe a lot of people have been watching it and watching it back, which is really nice to hear.
Is this your greatest achievement?
Yes, I'd say so. Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially when you've got the title world champion. I mean, it's hard to believe, really. And it's like when people are talking to me about it, I feel like I'm talking about someone else. So it's quite surreal.
Could this be life changing?
I'm not sure. I suppose time will tell. But it'd be nice if it was. But if it's not, then it's just nice to be able to say I'm world champion and cherish it for the rest of my life.
Is it a tough being in the Isle of Man and having to get away to play in these tournaments?
It can be. Luckily, we've had other people going to these events, so I've been able to travel with them, which wasn't in the early years, but we do have like half a dozen players going now. And luckily, I've always had a travel partner that we can travel together, so it's a bit lot easier jumping the car instead of, you know, doing the public transport, so it does help a lot.
So what's next?
I think it's just doing the next, just continue doing the IPA tour and see what else comes.
And when's that? When is that?
It's the end of March, last weekend of March. So.
And where will that take you?
That's Newcastle. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
Okay. And just, I have to ask you, is the fact that you've done so well the sign of a misspent youth?
Possibly. Albeit it's took me till I'm 43 to win one of these. But and it's a seniors event, so maybe I had to wait till I was a bit older to get a bit of joy. But
when did you start playing? That's kind of
started playing probably about 4 or 5 maybe.
Wow.
And then started picking up snooker when I was 11, so I was taking it a bit more seriously then. And then when I come to like 16, I was kind of mixing both Q sports, and then I was taking the pool a bit more seriously. And then at 17, I managed to win the first Ireland Championship, so I was really pleased with that, doing it at such a young age. So that meant that's like one of my favourite victories, really, you know. And then from then, all I've wanted to do is like try and put the Isle of Man on the pool map, so to speak. So, you know, go to the IPA events and all that, and really enjoyed it, and, you know, pick up some good results here or there. But yeah, it's been nice to get a few odd results there, and I've had my first year as a pro was in 2018, my best season by far. So I've kind of like struggled a little the last few years, but got to a final a couple of years ago. And then, you know, trying to get a good run again at some point. So wondered when it was coming and suddenly just came out of the blue this weekend.
Well done. Just finally, Isle of Man born and bred?
Been here since I was two, but pretty much, yeah. I consider myself a proud Manxman, and all the posts I've been doing, I'm like, you know, it's not just about me. It's about doing it for the Isle of Man, and that's what I set out to do when I started. And that's what I've said now, and yeah, that's really proud to do it for the Isle of Man and everyone over here and for the flag.
David Adnall speaking to Dave Moore earlier this week. That's it for Friday Sport Preview this week. Thank you very much for joining me, and thanks to Tony Meppam, Dave Christian and Ben Cunningham as well for their thoughts on the fixtures ahead this weekend. Shortly available as a podcast for you to listen to at manxradio.com if you want to catch up on any of the programme. And of course, stay tuned to Manx Radio tomorrow between midday and four. Paul Moran here with Saturday Live. And then join me on Manx Radio AM and Manx Radio AM on DAB for all of the reaction in Manx Radio's Saturday Sport full time between 4 and 6 o'clock.